This show contains explicit language.
Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. I'm Laura.
I'm Shauna.
And we are two friends and writing partners who happen to be pregnant at the same time, so we decided to start a podcast about it.
This week on the show, we have our weekly check-ins. We have a segment called Big Topic, where we dive into Laura's journey of trying to conceive, and we do our BFPs and BFNs. Let's get started.
All right, welcome to the show, everyone. This is episode 12.
Hi.
Hi. Our show is almost out of the first trimester.
Oh my gosh, that's right. Yay, show.
And so, Shauna, what is your check-in for this week? What week are you at now?
I'm week 23, and on the whole, it was a pretty uneventful week. Just rolling along in the second trimester, generally feeling pretty good. One thing that did happen is my husband and I decided to post a picture on Instagram of me obviously pregnant with our daughter and didn't say anything about it.
Oh, he did that without your knowledge?
No. We did it together. We posted at the same time.
Oh, but my
we
gosh.
Didn't put any caption. We didn't do anything like
that. Oh, I was worried you were saying he posted it without you knowing.
Oh, God. No, he knows better than that. No. We both posted it kind of just as like a sly announcement on social media. Because I think we've talked before, like, neither of us are really keen on, like, the whole, like, hey, world, here's our, I don't know, announcement. So it was just kind of like a quiet, like, here's a photo.
Yes, it was very sneaky. I saw it and I was like, oh, I guess Shauna's out about this pregnancy now.
Yeah, we came out. And some friends were definitely like, wait, what? And I was like, what? Yeah, we were keeping it under wraps. And so now the world knows, Laura. The world knows.
Did you get any surprising reactions or from people you didn't expect?
No, not really. Mostly just congratulations and, you know, likes and stuff. We didn't share it on Facebook, only on Instagram. Facebook and I are kind of on the outs right now, so I'm not really into that platform.
Your it's complicated relationship status with Facebook?
Yes, very. So I like Instagram. It's just kind of like a small circle of friends and family. And
you have a private Instagram, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I post way too many pictures of my kid to want that out in the world. But yeah, so that's one little thing. And then the other thing, it's also kind of small, is that I told our pediatrician that I'm pregnant. So now he knows and he's prepared to come to the hospital and check on the baby.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool. Do you have a pediatrician set up yet?
No, my doctor's talked to us about it, and I think we're just going to roll into the practice that's like linked up with my OB's office. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I know that our friend Jen, that's what she did with her son, and she said that they're fine, they're great. It's like a duo, it's like a team of pediatricians, and she says she kind of likes one more than the other, but it's nice that there's two that you can go to. And my only concern is that there is a hospital closer to us. It's not the hospital I want to give birth in for various reasons, but there's probably a pediatrician much closer than where I'm going to be giving birth. So I'm open to the idea of switching at some point or maybe just finding one before I give birth. But honestly, I'm kind of in denial about those steps right now.
Yeah, it'll come. It'll come.
It's also one of those things where I know I need a pediatrician, but both my parents are also pediatricians. So I kind of have like a nurse line to call.
Totally. But you do need an office to go to in the beginning. It's like every month or 2 months and get those vaccinations and the checkups. And I know your parents don't live in town. So I suggest you either roll with the pediatrician that your doctor suggested or find someone nearby.
Yeah, definitely one of those two things are going to happen. And most likely it'll just be the one that is the path of least resistance, which is going to be the pediatrician that just gets assigned to us after birth. So
yeah,
knowing me, but I still have to cross that bridge. Oh, there's so much to do.
So yes, there is. Well, what about you? What's your check-in this week?
Oh my God. So I didn't know that the term nesting applied to cleaning until this week. So everyone, whenever anyone said, oh, I'm nesting for the baby, I always thought it meant like interior decorating, Like, yeah. Right? Like buying a crib and painting the room. And this week, I had deadlines for work and I had a lot of things to do. And Corey was at his poker night on a Thursday night. Corey's my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, I'm going to use the night to get all this work done. And instead, I spent like 6 hours cleaning the pantry.
Whoa, that's a long time to clean a pantry, girl.
Well, I did have to lie down in the middle of it.
Well, but I just picture you on the kitchen floor with like boxes of pasta all around you.
Yeah, that's basically what it was. I took everything out of the pantry. So it started with, I guess I'm including the time before the pantry cleaning, which was going to Costco. So I went to Costco, I came home, and I opened the pantry and was looking for places to put stuff. And I was just like, fuck this. I can't just shove more shit into this pantry. Like, I can't do it. It all has to come out now. So I took everything out. And it's not a big pantry. It's not even a pantry. It's like one big cupboard. But it's floor to ceiling and it's very deep. So I had to like get up on the step ladder and I took every single thing out. I cleaned all the surfaces. I threw away so much expired crap, like
nice
cans of food from like 2012 that expired like 6 years ago.
Oh my God.
That we must have moved with, because we moved just over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I purged all of it and it felt really good. And I was sending my husband updates when he was like, great, you know, like, good. Don't you have work to do? And it felt so satisfying. And I had absolutely no idea that this connected to pregnancy until later I was on the baby boards and someone was like, is anyone nesting? I just like had an uncontrollable urge to clean my house and like nothing would stand in my way. And I was like, wait, is that nesting? And I Googled it and like it was like 10 signs you're nesting. And number 3 was like, you suddenly feel the need to clean out the pantry.
classic.
I was like, oh, I'm such a stereotype. Oh, but man. Our pantry is spotless now. I actually know I had to like make a new recipe recently and I didn't have to be like, do I have molasses? I knew I had molasses that wasn't expired.
That's a good feeling.
You can see everything in it. I'm very proud of it. So I just totally want to clean everything. Not in like a germaphobe kind of way. Like it's not about the surfaces. It's about organizing. So
it helps clear up a mental space, I think, so that
yes.
you can focus on the baby. I definitely remember having that with my first, and there was some sense of pride of, like, knowing, like, where everything was, you know, and I could just take care of her and then go grab the thing I needed, and it didn't clutter my head. So yes. I think that might be a big part of it.
Gretchen Rubin, who does, she's written a bunch of books on happiness and habit forming, and she has the amazing podcast Happier with Gretchen Rubin, which I am obsessed with. She always says, outer order brings inner calm. And I think that's so wise and true. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I got outer order, at least in my pantry.
Yay!
Yay.
Our next segment is a big topic, and this week's big topic is trying to conceive, or TTC on the baby boards.
Yes, TTC.
TTC. And this week we're going to talk to Laura about her journey of trying to conceive. So, Laura, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you guys did your baby making?
Baby making. Mine is fairly boring, I have to admit. That as discussed,
get ready, listeners.
Get ready for a really boring topic. No, I guess boring is the wrong term. Mine is pretty conventional and straightforward, I guess I should say. Once I decided to have kids, which we discussed in episode 9, which was a big decision for myself and my husband, once that decision was made, the actual trying to conceive actually went very relatively easy for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what's interesting about how you did it, I feel like you were a little methodical about it.
Oh, yes, yes. So that, so once we decided, I was not like ready to fuck around. I guess that's exactly what we were ready to do, but no, but I wasn't going to just leave it up to chance because there's a couple things. I'm a very data-driven person. I love gathering data on myself. Like, I, for years, have kept an almost daily weight log, not because I care that much about my weight, but I like seeing the graph. You know, I like sort of being aware of what's going on. So I wasn't about to approach it sort of, well, we'll just try and see what happens. I figured if we were going to try and possibly take a long time, because I was 35 when we started trying, almost 36. So, you know, there was a very good chance it was going to take a long time for us. And I wanted to know that we were trying at the right times. I wanted to know that we were doing everything we could to set us up for success, because I wanted the hard data to be able to go back and analyze and be able to tell my doctor. My doctor basically said, try for 6 months on your own and then we'll talk about whatever, you know, starting to take drugs or do any sort of fertility treatments if necessary. But 6 months is what he gave us. So I wanted to really use those and not just guess that we were having sex at the right time, basically. So I had been using Clue to track my periods for a couple of years. So I actually had a pretty good sense of my cycle length, and using Clue for the last few years, I actually could tell when I was ovulating pretty well based on the kind of, when you're trying to conceive, it gets pretty gross pretty quickly. There's a lot of testing of bodily fluids. There's a lot of peeing on sticks. There's a lot of like feeling your cervical mucus, seeing how that works. You get into the nitty gritty really quickly. So thankfully, even before we were trying, I decided I didn't want to be newly pregnant around Christmas time. So we decided that we wouldn't start trying until January of this year. And so I already knew sort of when my cycle lengths were going to be, and we were trying. So we tried for January, February, March, and March was kind of a wash because my husband was actually shooting a pilot out of town. And I actually went up to visit him. We were in Portland, Oregon for a month, or he was up there for a month. I was up there for 3 weeks. And of course I brought my like ovulation test strips with me, and you can buy them pretty cheap on Amazon, and they just test your levels of follicle stimulating hormone, which is what peaks right before you release an egg. So I was doing all that, but in Oregon, like those test strips never really worked right. And it was just a very stressful time. And also Corey was, you know, out at all night shoots. So it's not like we were really feeling up for the trying to conceive game when he came back from shooting all night in a waste treatment plant and coming back at 5 a.m. Like having, hey, no, it's not really the time to tap him on the shoulder and be like, hey, I know you just had a 14-hour day in a building that smells like shit. Well, you want to have some sex now? So that March was kind of a wash. And so I still hadn't, you know, I hadn't gotten pregnant by March. And then my friend, Sarah, who had a 4-month-old, I was talking with her when I got back to LA, and she was like, oh, here. And she handed me a box of Clear Blue Easy digital ovulation kit that actually tests two hormones. I think it tests your estrogen and then your follicle stimulating hormone, and gives you a window of your fertile days. And she's like, just do this. This is what we used. It worked like a charm. And she's like, I have an extra one because I thought it would take at least 2 months to get pregnant, but it only took us 1 month because of this thing. So she gave me the one she had, and which is nice because they're expensive. And I got to say that did the trick.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
And the good thing is that, so when I did finally get the pregnancy confirmed, and we got the little tiny embryo measured, I thought I was 3 days further along than I was. And my doctor said that, you know, if I hadn't used that test, I probably wouldn't have gotten pregnant because it looks like I ovulated 3 days before I thought I did. So
ovulation is so tricky.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing I realized is that even like, you know, my cervical mucus and I never did the temperature thing. I was kind of waiting to do that to see if the other things didn't work. And the follicle stimulating hormone, like those are good indicators, but you might have already missed it, I guess, once those things show up. And I guess that's what it was. Like those indicators were later for me. So, but you know, it all actually worked out pretty easily, which I'm very grateful for because I had no expectation that it necessarily was going to. And part of the reason we decided to start trying and had this idea that it might take a while is because I've watched you go through your journey. So I know that, you know, it's not always that straightforward for people. So I mentioned how Shauna's path and trying to conceive inspired mine, but we are going to talk to Shauna about her journey on a future episode because it deserves a segment of its own. All right, so at the end of every episode, we discuss our BFPs and BFNs, our big fat positive and big fat negatives of the week. And Shauna, you're up. What do you got for us this week?
BFP.
Nice.
Which is, I think we have our name.
What?
At least the first name. And don't get excited, anyone. I'm not going to reveal it on the show. We're going to wait until the baby is born and see her face and make sure it all lines up. But part of what happened this week that solidified this, I think, is that I did run this name by a couple of my friends because I was feeling a little insecure
about
it.
Not me, by the way. I just want to say not me.
Not you. Sorry. Jeez. You weren't there.
All right.
I've been feeling a little insecure about this name. I do like it. It's not really a name. Like, it's not like a name that you would find like on a name list. You know what I mean? And you'll find out what I'm talking about whenever we announce it. But I wanted to run it by other people just to be like, is this insane? Are we totally insane for like thinking this? And so I ran it by a couple friends and I got positive feedback. They said it was nice and beautiful and they liked it. And I do like it. Steve loves it. I mean, he is ready to charge forth with this name.
Yeah.
So
well,
I felt,
mean, you I hope you like it. You should.
Yes, I do.
The first criteria.
Yes. Yeah, I do. And it's just so it's been really, really hard for us to agree on a name. So I felt good that I got like, OK, I don't think I'll be like I'll feel super weird announcing this child's name. Laura.
It's okay because I know I'm going to do the same thing to you, which is we're not going to announce the name till we give birth, but I'm just like, I didn't expect to be so anxious to find out. I'm just dying to know. Maybe it's because I'm also thinking about names, and so like it's a topic that's so on my mind.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a little bit jealous that you've come up with something, and it's just like, I want to know. But I want to respect your wishes.
Thank you.
It'll be a fun surprise, too, come December.
Yeah, yeah. What about you? BFP, BFN?
I've got a BFP this week,
woo,
which are nursing bras.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
So the very first sign, talking about TTC earlier in this conversation, the very first sign that I knew I was pregnant, that something had worked on this cycle, was that my like boobs started hurting really bad. Mm-hmm. And they didn't normally hurt my cycle like that. And I was like, hey, hon, I think it worked this time because something's off. And lo and behold, you know, 5 days later, I got a positive pregnancy test. And that was clearly a precursor to my boobs growing super fast, like really uncomfortably big very quickly. And I already kind of had like I had big boobs, you know, not in like super sexy way, but just in like a, ooh, that makes my back hurt kind of way for my whole adult life. And I was already struggling to find bras that fit. Before pregnancy, I was a 32 triple D, or I guess that would be equivalent to an F, which you could just barely get in stores. You know, they usually carry up to that size, but instantly, I swear by week six, I want to say, I went up three cup sizes.
Holy smokes.
And two band sizes. So I was like, none of my bras were fitting. They were all super uncomfortable. So I went to the, have you ever heard of the Wizard of Bras?
No.
So there is a place in Monrovia, which is sort of northeast of Los Angeles. And it's this little house in Monrovia that's called Creative Woman, the Wizard of Bras.
That's a funny name.
It's an amazing name. And you go in, and it's meant for people who have special needs with their bras. And you go in, and none of their bras are actually out. You have to go back, and you get measured by a woman, usually like an older, either like Hispanic or Russian woman, who is not there to make you feel comfortable. Like, she is there to get you the right size bra. Like, it is not a comfortable experience. I was going to say it's not a touchy-feely experience, but it's a very touchy-feely experience.
I feel like manhandle is a word that's coming into
my... womanhandle.
Womanhandle, there you go.
Yes.
Womanhandling you.
Yes. So, you know, they definitely, like, size you up both with a measuring tape and sort of with their hands, and then decide what size you need and what style of bra, and you just wait for them to bring you the bras that work. And I did that, and I got one good bra out of it. I got a 36G.
Whoa. I didn't know that G was a thing.
Well, I guess, you know, instead of like D, uh-huh. It was like DEFG. So it's like a quadruple D equivalent. Mm-hmm. And because it was the 36, that's three cup sizes up from what I was before. And like, before anyone's like, oh, I'm so jealous, like, or people who want big boobs, it is not something you want. Like, this is not an appealing prospect. Trust me. You're just going to have to trust me on this. So I got my one really well-fitting bra from there, but it was, you know, it was underwire. It was like, it's like a wearing out bra.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know what to do. And then I was talking to some friends about it who had had kids. And my friend Ariel was like, just buy nursing bras. And I was like, nursing bras are for after the baby, right? Like, that's what you think. They're called nursing bras. And she's like, no. You get them now because you're going to need them later.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they're going to go to waste. And she's like, and they are the most comfortable bras. So I took her advice and I got these nursing bras. They're made out of French terry cloth that are so soft.
Ooh.
From a company called Kindred Braverly. And they make all kinds of, I think, undergarments and stuff for pregnant and nursing women. And it was so great. I bought about one on Amazon. And then I went to the actual Kindred Braverly website and bought like six more the following week.
Wow.
They're super comfortable. They're basically just like the most comfortable kind of sports bra you can imagine. And the great thing about them is, you know, there were a lot of companies that had nursing bras, but none of them seemed like they would fit me because I have a relatively narrow rib cage, but like bigger boobs. And so Kindred Braverly is great because they're small, medium, large, but they also have them in small, regular, and small, busty.
Mm.
So I got the large busty, which just has like extra room in it. And I'm wearing one right now, and I have to say, like, it's super comfortable. So this has been a huge improvement in my life. I can wear them to prenatal yoga because they're kind of like sports bras.
Awesome. I need the link. I'm going to need something like this.
We'll put the link in the show notes. And again, this is not an ad in any way. But, you know, hit us up if you want some good promotion, because I love these bras. So that's my exciting BFP for the week. And I think that's our show.
Awesome. We'd love to hear about your journeys of trying to conceive, or maybe what your BFPs or BFNs were for this week. So why not hit us up on social media? Laura, where can they find us?
We're on Twitter and Instagram at BFP Podcast. We have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com, or you can find us on Facebook. Just search for Big Fat Positive Podcast and join our community.
Big Fat Positive is produced by Shauna Maiko, Laura Bierick, and Steve Yeager.
And don't forget to rate and review us. We'd love some ratings and reviews on iTunes, and tell your friends about the show. That's the best way to help the show gain audience, and we'd love for you to do that.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye. So, hey, are you ready to start recording?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Oh, you know what? Actually, I have to take some Tums. I have to pee and take some Tums, actually, so I'll be back in 2 seconds.
Sweet.